for stopping by. Now I want to bring in our first guest of the program. His name's Jack Veltri. He works for Gamecock Central and does an incredible job covering South Carolina. South Carolina baseball off to a very good start this season. They just swept Vandy last weekend, had a good win last night. I don't know about the defense or the pitching last night, a high-scoring game against PC. But, Jack, I wanted to start off by asking you, now that Mark Kingston has had a few years to settle in, has the critique from South Carolina fans that we've heard over the last year or so and the displeasures with the baseball program not living up to Ray Tanner, have those critiques been fair in your opinion or unfair?
Well, first off, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. But I think the critiques of Kingston are very unfair and kind of unwarranted. I think, in all honesty, I think some South Carolina fans are living in this fantasy world, a little bubble of living in the past from 15 years ago with what South Carolina baseball did, winning back-to-back College World Series and making it for a third time in a row. And to that, I kind of say, you know, we're in a time where college baseball, it's not just South Carolina that's a really good team. There are other good teams out there competing, and I think South Carolina is in the hardest conference in college baseball. And it's tough to win, right? I mean, Kingston's made it to two super regionals now, and I think we're underestimating how tough it is to get to Omaha every year. And the fact that South Carolina is competitive, and look, obviously the goal is to get to the College World Series and win it all, but the fact that South Carolina's fallen short a few times, I get it, but at the same time, I think Kingston's doing a really good job, and he's making the right moves and pushing the right buttons, and I think he's got a really good team in front of him right here that can get to where they want to go.
Jack Veltri, Gamecock Central, joins us, GamecockCentral.com, joins us here on Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson. Jack, we had a little bit of a slump in the season. Maybe it's more in the fans' minds, certainly affected more by that series loss or that sweep against Clemson. But then you turn it around and you've got a sweep against the top five ranked team in Vanderbilt, 8-4, 8-3, and 10-2. Vanderbilt had a ton of errors in that series, but South Carolina found ways to grit these games out and ultimately win these three games comfortably. How critical is it for this team and for any team in general to learn how to win in multiple ways? You got teams that can hit the ball out of the park and score a lot of runs. You got teams that have elite pitching, and then you got teams who learn how to grind it out in these close games. How important is that going to be going down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that, let's look back to last year. I was talking to a guy today that played for last year's team and kind of comparing it to this year. Last year's squad hit a ton of home runs, and this year we're seeing South Carolina, the home run ball isn't their main thing, right? They can score in multiple different ways. They walk a ton. They can hit with runners in scoring position. I think that's something they struggled a little bit with at the beginning of the year, but I think they're starting to kind of turn around, hitting with two outs, moving runners over, and they can beat you in a lot of different ways. And you look at that Vanderbilt series, for instance. Vanderbilt made so many silly little errors in that game. Dropped fly balls, not being able to field ground balls, and South Carolina goes ahead and takes advantage of it. So I think when you're able to win in more ways than just the home run ball, you're really setting yourself up for success. And I think that's kind of going to be the difference if South Carolina is able to make some sort of postseason run. Because last year, I mean, they struck out the most in the SEC, and you see that really come ahead when they go play Florida in the Super Regional last year. I think they struck out at least in the double digits in both those games they lost against Florida. And when you're able to do things that you can hit with runners in score position, like I said, and move runners over and score, I guess in small ball in a way, you're going to be very successful. And, I mean, they still have the power bats to go out there and win games. I mean, even Petri and Cole Messina and Kennedy Jones are already really threatening 2, 3, 4 in the order. And when you combine that with the rest of the guys in their lineup, they can do a lot of damage.
You know, one thing, Jack, that I have always said over the last few years, and this is something we talk about a lot, but it seemed like Mark Kingston, and I want to ask you if there was any, you know, talk or conversation about this, not using it as an excuse, but Mark Kingston in his first few years, I don't know if I've ever seen a coach as unlucky with the injury bug as he was. Is that something that was talked about? And it's maybe, I don't want to jinx it, but maybe seems like that little jinx or curse might be lifted as they're finally starting to play some healthy baseball. I mean, a few years ago, they couldn't even get into the season without their best guys getting hurt.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally right. I think with the injury bug, that's something that, when you look back at last year, for instance, it really bit them in the butt because they were rolling, I think, getting as high as maybe number three in the country, and then you see some guys get affected by injuries, and it messes things up. I mean, they were slumping into Hoover at the SEC tournament, and then luckily they got a few guys back, and then they go right back to playing good ball come NCAA tournament time, and unfortunately it didn't carry over into the Super Regionals, but I think that's something that's definitely hurt them over the years. I think with this year's team, they really do need to stay healthy, especially on the pitching side, because I feel like, I mean, I don't think you're one injury away from your pitching just going to, you know, falling apart. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you're counting on a lot of younger, slowly starting to become proven guys in that rotation, specifically in the rotation. But I mean, think about it. Like, let's look at a guy like Ethan Petrie or Cole Messina. What happens if one of them goes down? You know, I mean, you don't want to even think about that sort of stuff. But, I mean, it just – I mean, when those guys are on, the rest of the offense clicks. So, it's – you know, it's just, you know, it would be tough if they got any injuries. But so far, I mean, they seem to be pretty healthy. I think that goes back to the way that they train and stuff.
Jack Feltry, GamecockCentral.com, joins us here on Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson. Jack, if South Carolina, who's currently sitting now at 18 in the polls and seems to be rising, if they fail to host or even to make a regional, it'll be because of what?
If they don't host a regional but they end up making it to one, is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying if they fall short of making a regional or hosting a regional, it'll be because of what?
Yeah, because of what? I would say it comes down to just offense, in my opinion. You know, I think the pitching staff was the bigger question mark going into the season. But so far, I mean, as long as things continue to trend like they are, the pitching staff has really been the strong suit of this team. I mean, you have guys like Eli Jones and someone like Tyler Pitts or a freshman who went out and dominated Vanderbilt the other day, and Dylan Eskew and Matthew Becker. If your rotation and bullpen continue to pitch the way they have, I think South Carolina is going to have a real good chance to make a run. On the flip side, I think it really comes down to the offense, right? Because we've seen what it's like when this offense struggles. And if guys like Ethan Petrie and Cole Messina aren't clicking, how does that impact the rest of the offense, right? Is it a domino effect, or can other guys step up and put it all together? But I think, you know, that's the one thing that would concern me is, you know, if they aren't able to hit with runners in score position and stuff and strike out a ton, how does that kind of impact what they're able to do come postseason time?
Jack, great stuff, man. Listen, we're following and covering South Carolina baseball and Clemson on the program, and anytime those programs are playing well, it's obviously better for our show, right? So, you know, before I let you go, one thing that I've always disliked about the schedule is the fact that the Clemson series and South Carolina, when they play each other, obviously the fans care a lot. When it's at Fluor Field in Greenville, that's a packed house. It's always a great turnout. This year, obviously, weather played an impact. But do you think that series maybe being moved to middle or later in the season would actually mean more? Because following Carolina and Clemson, in the time that I have, as early as those games are played, unfortunately to me, it just seems as if that series really doesn't matter a whole lot.
So there's a few ways to look at it, and I don't know how much time I have, but I'll try to make this quick. Here's the thing. With the way it's played right now, first of all, I don't really like the 1-1-1 where it's, you know, one game at Clemson, one game at Carolina, one neutral site. I think it needs to be one place or the other. It just makes everything logistically easier. And you could have had a doubleheader this year because of it. But I think it's a good benchmark to see where you're at before SEC play or ACC play. And, you know, for Clemson, they're roaring hot right now. And they're playing some of their best baseball. And, you know, South Carolina, they lost that series, and it showed that, okay, they need to kind of regroup a little bit. They need to fine-tune some things and get it right. Now, if you play that series later in the year, like let's say they play in, like, I don't know, a random weekend in May, I think the hype is a lot bigger. You know, depending on how good these teams are, I think they'd still be top 10, top 15 in the country, and you see a lot more eyeballs on it. But that's not to say there aren't eyeballs on it. I mean, people are going to tune into the series, sell out the stadium in general. But I kind of get it. You know, I think back in the day, you know, back in like the heat of the rivalry and stuff, I believe they used to split it up to where they would play some games later in the season. So I honestly wouldn't mind that if they did something like that. You know, maybe, I don't know. I mean, maybe make it four games and play two games in the early part of the year and maybe two later. I'm not sure. There's definitely a solution somewhere. But I definitely think it starts with probably starting to not have this neutral site thing in the middle. I think just play a series at Clemson one year and a series at Carolina. I think it just makes it a lot more entertaining that way.
Jack, I want to ask you one more question, and I want you to look at this from a 10,000-foot perspective. To what do you attribute so much of the power in college baseball pulling towards the Southeast? I mean, when I was growing up, there was so much elite baseball coming out of California. The small schools in California would always be really, really good. But, man, as I scroll down the D1 baseball top 25, I'm seeing almost no teams outside of the Southeast or even new teams that are coming into the SEC outside of maybe UC Irvine, and I see Oregon State all the way up there at number two. Like, why has college baseball shifted its power to this region?
Well, I think it has to go back to the high schools, right? And I think, you know, let's say Texas, for instance, and Georgia and Florida and trying to think of like Louisiana and even South Carolina and North Carolina. These types of states have really good baseball talent. And that's not to say there isn't other talent across the country. I mean, there's you know, high schools in the Northeast, I'm sure, that produce pretty good baseball. But it's just not as it's not as big. That's probably why you don't see many top 25 teams come out of, like, the Big Ten or, you know, other conferences like that up there. And even on the West Coast, I mean, I'm surprised. California, like you said, is such a big state, and it's got – a ton of baseball talent, I'm sure, from that side of the coast. But, yeah, I mean, when you look at the East Coast and the Southeast specifically, there's a reason why playing in the SEC, in my opinion, is the toughest thing to do, especially as a road team, just because you're getting the best in and, you know, every weekend. And, I mean, that's why teams like, you know, Southern Miss, for instance, are, you know, getting the recognition that they are, that they're small schools even. I mean, they're making runs in the college, you know, in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, it's a product of what you're getting on the high school level, because I think that's ultimately what it comes down to.
Without a doubt. I think that's a great answer and a great question, Diesel. I like the way you answered that, Jack. Hey, listen, appreciate your time, man. Look forward to doing it again. Great coverage with Gamecock Central, Wes and those guys. Everybody over there has always been great to work with. We appreciate you taking time to hop on with us.
Thank you guys so much for thinking of me and having me on. I really appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. That's Jack Veltri of Gamecock Central. He covers the Gamecocks and you know what? Does a great job.